Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. In a new program of Osho Radio today, we bring you a discourse of Osho and wonderful music from the world of Osho. The discourse is about opening yourself up to life, celebrating life, and so is the music we play in this program. Just relax, sit back and enjoy.
Sunshine through the branches. Hear the birds sing in the trees. Feel the heartbeat of eternity. Hear the sunshine through the branches. Hear the birds sing in the trees. Feel the heartbeat of eternity.
The discourse today is from the series The Goose Is Out, number 9. Somebody asked Osho if you need to have an attitude towards life. On the contrary, says Osho, any attitude towards life will just be a hindrance. I'm not in favor of Buddha, who says that life is just misery from the beginning to the end. I teach love for life and everything that life contains. Drop all your attitudes and be open to life, to its dance, to its song.
the first question. Bhagavan, is it important to have some kind of attitude towards life? The best way to miss life is to have a certain attitude towards it. The attitudes originate in the mind, and life is beyond mind. The attitudes are our fabrications, our prejudices, our inventions. Life is not our fabrication. On the contrary, we are just ripples in the lake of life. What an attitude a ripple in the ocean can have towards the ocean. What an attitude a grass leaf can have towards the earth, the moon, the sun, the stars. All attitudes are egoistic. All attitudes are stupid. Life is not a philosophy. It is not a problem. It is a mystery. You have to live it not according to a certain pattern, not according to a conditioning, not what you have been told about it. You have to start afresh from the very scratch. Each human individual should think as if he is the first on the earth. He is the Adam or the Eve. Then you can open. You can open to infinite possibilities. Then you will be vulnerable, available. And the more vulnerable you are, the more available you are, the more is the possibility of life happening to you. Your attitudes function like barriers. Then life never reaches to you as it is. It has to fit to your philosophy, religion, ideology. And in that very fitting, something dies in it. What you get out is a corpse. It may look like life, but it is not. That's what people have been doing down the ages. The Hindus are living according to the Hindu attitude. The Mohammedans according to the Mohammedan attitude. And the communists according to the communist attitude. But remember a basic fundamental truth. The attitudes does not allow you to come in contact with life as it is. It distorts. It interprets. There is an old Greek story. A fanatic king had a beautiful golden bed, very precious, studded with thousands of diamonds. And whenever a guest will be in the palace, he will offer the bed to the guest. But he had a certain attitude. The guest has to fit with the bed. If the guest was a little longer, then the king will cut him to size. Of course, the bed was so valuable, the bed cannot be changed. But the guest has to be put according to the bed, as if the bed does not exist for the guest. But the guest exists for the bed. And it is very rare, almost impossible to find a man to fit with a ready-made bed. The average person does not exist, remember. The average person is a fiction. And the bed was made for the average person. The king was a mathematician. Great calculation has gone into it. He had counted the height of all the citizens of his capital. And then the height was divided by the number of all the citizens. He had come to a fixed average. Now there were small children in the capital, young people, old people, pygmies, giants. But the average was a totally different phenomenon. There was not a single person in his whole capital who was really average. I have never come across the average person. The average person is a fiction. So whosoever was going to be the guest was in trouble. If he was shorter than the bed, then the king had great wrestlers who will pull the man to size. That must have been the beginning of Rolfing. Either Rolf must have learnt it from that king. Of course, each guest died. But that was not the king's fault. He was doing everything with best of intentions in the world. When you have a certain attitude towards life, you will miss life itself. Life is vast, uncontainable in any attitude, impossible to put it into a certain definition. Yes, your attitude may cover a certain aspect, but it will be only an aspect. And the tendency of the mind is to proclaim its aspect as the whole. And the moment the aspect is claimed as the whole, you have missed the very connection with life. Then you will live surrounded by your attitudes in a kind of cocoon, encapsulated, and you will be miserable. And then all your so-called religions will be very happy, because that's what they have been telling to you, that life is misery. Buddha says, the birth is misery, the youth is misery, the old age is misery, the death is misery, the whole life is nothing but a long, long tragedy. If you start with attitudes, you will find Buddha absolutely correct. You will be a proof. But I want to tell you, that life is not misery. And I don't agree with Buddha at all. Life becomes a misery, but that is your doing. Otherwise, life is eternal joy. But to know that eternal joy, you have to come open-hearted, open-handed. Don't approach life with your fists closed, clenched. Open your hands. Go into life with immense innocence. Attitudes are cunning. You have already decided. Without tasting, without experiencing, without living, you have already arrived to certain conclusions. And of course, if those conclusions are there already in you a priori, you will find them confirmed by life. Not that life confirms them. But your whole mind will try to find out ways and means, arguments, data to support. Mind is like a sponge. It goes on sucking. It is a parasite. Once there is a center of a certain a priori conclusion, then that center starts becoming crystallized. A man came to me who has been working for years for a certain hypothesis in many countries of the world, particularly in the West, and more particularly in America. The number 13 is not thought to be good. There are hotels in America where the 13th floor does not exist. From 12th floor, you simply come to the 14th. The number 13th is avoided. No room has the number 13. From 12th, you immediately reach to the 14th, because nobody wants to live in the 13th room on the 13th floor. A great fear, the idea that the number 13 has something evil in it. And this man was working and collecting all kinds of data. And he has collected really a huge mountainous support. How many accidents happen on the date 13th every month? How many people die on the date 13th? How many people commit suicide? How many people murder? How many people go mad? And he was showing his great thesis to me. And he said, what do you say? I said, you do one thing more. You have put so much energy into it. Now try one thing more. Now find out what happens on 12th. And you will come to the same data. Because on 12th also people go mad, commit suicide, murder, rob. Everything happens every day. But if you have a certain attitude fixed, then you will choose according to that attitude. And of course, when you have so much information and argument, you feel certain that your attitude is right. I teach you a life without any attitudes. This is one of the fundamentals of my experience. If you really want to know that which is, then drop all philosophy, all ism, then go open-handed, utterly naked into the sun, to see what it is. In the past it was thought that our senses are doors. The reality reaches from our centers to our innermost being. Now, the latest researches show something else. Our senses are not just doors. They are guards also. Only 2% of information is allowed to pass in. 98% is prevented outside. Anything that goes against your idea of life is prevented. And only 2% filters in. Now to live a life of 2% only is not to live at all. When one can live 100%, why decide to live for 2% only? You ask me, is it important to have some kind of attitude towards life? Not only that it is not important, it is dangerous to have any attitude towards life. Why not allow life to have its dance, its song, without any expectations? Why can't we live without expectations? Why can't we see that which is in its purity? Why should we impose ourselves upon it? And nobody is going to be the loser. If you impose upon life, you are the only loser. From London comes the story of the three professors of literature who, while returning from lunch, encountered several ladies of pleasure who were patrolling the street en masse. What might one call such a congregation? Mused the first professor, a Shakespearean specialist, a florist of Eastern pets. The second professor, being an authority on the novels of Anthony Trollope, naturally contributed a chapter of Trollope's. But the best description came from the youngest and the least specialized of the professors. He called the ladies an anthology of prose. It is better not to label life. It is better not to give it a structure. It is better to leave it open-ended. It is better not to categorize it, not to labelize it. You will have a more beautiful experience of things. You will have a more cosmic experience of things. Because things are not really divided. The existence is one orgasmic whole. It is one organic unit. The smallest grain of grass, the smallest leaf in a poor tree is as significant as the biggest star. The smallest thing is also the biggest, because it is all oneness. It is one spectrum. The moment you start dividing, you start creating arbitrary lines, definitions. And that's the way how one goes on missing life. And the mystery of it. We all have attitudes. That is our anguish. We all look from a certain standpoint. Hence our life becomes poor, because every aspect at the most can be one dimensional. And life is multidimensional. You have to be more liquid, more fluid, more melting and merging. You are not to be an observer. There is nothing to be solved. Don't take life as a problem. It is a tremendously beautiful mystery. Drink of it. It is pure wine. Be a drunkard with it. A successful cloak and suitor had finally found the girl of his dreams, and he made preparations for a wedding the garment district would never forget. His own designers prepared a wedding gown for the bride of the finest imported silks and satins, and his own material raiment was truly a sight to behold. The affair was nothing less than breathtaking. No expense had been spared. Then as the newlyweds were about to embark on their honeymoon trip to Canada, an urgent message arrived in the form of a telegram. "It is from my partner," the groom explained. "Urgent business. I will have to attend to it immediately." "But what about our honeymoon?" the bride asked tearfully. "Business comes first," he said. "But you go ahead. I will catch a later plane and be there by tonight." "But what if you can't make it by tonight?" she moaned. "Then," he blustered, "start without me." A businessman has his own philosophy, his own attitudes. The scientist has his own attitudes. Everybody is living in a small prison of his own attitudes. My effort here is to bring you out of your imprisonment. Hence, I don't teach you any doctrine. I don't give you any dogma. I don't give you any creed to live by. I'm simply trying to help you to be unburdened with all the nonsense which has been imposed upon you for centuries. If you can put aside the mountainous weight of the past, if you can start living as if you are the first man, only then there is a possibility that you may come to know what godliness is, what freedom is, what joy is. Otherwise, misery is going to be your lot. And naturally, sooner or later, you will agree with the pessimist attitude of Buddha, that all is suffering, all is pain. I absolutely deny it, because my own experience is just the opposite. All is bliss, all is benediction. But it depends on you, how you approach life. Guard it with certain spectacles on your eyes, or unguard it in deep trust, in love.
मैं देख सकूं सब में तुमको मैं देख सकूं सब में तुमको दृष्टि मुझे प्रभु दे अमृत में वह सृष्टि मुझे प्रभु दे देना मैं देख सकूं सब में तुमको
सब में तुमको मैं देखूं।
We're coming to the end of today's program. You heard music from Antar from the CD Paradise Cafe and a song by Milarepa called Listen to the Wind from his CD Laughter to the Buddhas. Before the discourse, Pindu was playing his guitar with a piece of music called In Love with Life. After the discourse, you heard Anantricha from her CD Prayers for Love, Ashik and his violin, and the final song is by Maduro from his CD I Keep on Loving You, and the song is called Up in the Clouds. We hope you enjoyed the program. Stay in tune with Osho Radio and share it with your friends. Goodbye for now. Take care and namaste.
Through the clouds, up in the
walking through the clouds, up in the blue sky of your
up in the blue sky of your love.